Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Your artist of the day on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Ooh, are we going to do terrible jokes later today?
I think we should.
I completely agree with that sentiment.
Mark LaVoy has never done terrible joke Tuesday.
Ooh. Let's do it. Let's do it at like 4:45.
Okay. I can do that.
Give him some time to ease into the idea.
Get his game on.
To prepare his theatrical reading.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see about the ticket that Kareem Hunt, former Kansas City Chiefs running back, got? Did you hear about
it?
In light of us talking about with Tom Hedrick here in a few minutes, we're not going to talk to him about that.
No, but what's going on? Because I saw the video and I didn't click on it because it said it was heartbreaking. The word I saw was heartbreaking.
Well, I saw the video on ESPN this morning. And so Kareem Hunt used to be the running back with the Kansas City Chiefs, who even said this week, I should be in the Super Bowl if I didn't screw up.
Ooh.
Well, he probably would still be on the team if he hadn't kicked that girl in the lobby.
Yep.
You remember him?
Sadly, I had to think back and ask myself,
he's the one caught on video kicking that woman in the lobby in the
elevator.
Right.
Bank.
No, no.
In the hallway.
No, in the hallway.
In the hallway.
Yeah. It was Ray Lewis who kicked the woman in the elevator.
Okay.
I mean, you kick enough windows, it's enough to get confused.
Yeah, you can't figure out which is which.
So anyway, Kareem Hunt is pulled over in Cleveland, where he now plays, okay? The officer recognizes him immediately. The officer smells marijuana, says, and I quote here, I understand you're with the Browns and all that. You have my word. If there's nothing in this car, I'm just going to give you a traffic ticket. A traffic ticket is not going to get you in trouble. We constantly stop athletes around here because you're all working in Cleveland. If it's just a traffic ticket, you're not going to get in trouble, man. The officer returns to the cruiser. By the way, there was other stuff in the car. There was a small bag of marijuana and an open bottle of vodka. And if you listen to the audio, can you see if you can find that, Sam? It is clean. I heard the whole thing earlier today. I'm not saying he was intoxicated, but man, he sounds like he is. The officer returns to the cruiser with a plastic bag of marijuana. Hunt, who said he was on his way to the airport to catch the flight, said the marijuana was his brother's. But then when pressed as to whether he would fail a drug test, Hunt admitted that he would. It's the off season, said Kareem Hunt. Sorry, I was having a good time. Behind the wheel of a car, by the way. The officer said he would still write Hunt only a traffic ticket, but would seize the backpack. I hate to say this, but you of anybody should know if you're trying to stay good, stay on the right path, this is not the way to go, said Officer Asbury. I mean, you had like a good second part of the year. You don't want to screw that up over some weed. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write you a traffic ticket. Then I'll just seize this stuff. Fair enough? I'm not going to write you a weed ticket either, but don't lie to me next time. And Kareem Hunt, who had an open bottle of vodka and weed in his bag that he said was his brother's, but then confessed he would fail a drug test if given one, is allowed to just drive off, presumably putting the safety of the public at risk, with nothing more than a traffic ticket.
You said this is clean?
I believe it is, but keep your finger on the dumb button just in case. But I think it is.
I'm not putting any handcuffs or anything.
I know.
Relax and listen, Kareem. This is how this works, all right? I understand you're with the Browns and all that, okay?
I understand so that, listen, officer. I just really got a flight I got
to
catch.
Okay, that's all right, so listen to me.
Like, I got
I'm going to search the car. As long as I don't find anything in the car, listen, I'm going to give you a traffic ticket for speed and get you out of here, okay?
But you, now hold the phone.
All right, stop.
We're going to come back to this. I understand that, in his words, I lost everything already, sir. He says, just give me a traffic ticket, please. Yes, sir. It stresses me out. There's nothing else. I lost everything already, sir. But there are people listening to that tape screaming in their cars right now that if this were them.
Oh, bye.
One of the first things he says, and I know officers have discretion, but one of the first things he says is, I get that you're with the Cleveland Browns and stuff. Who else would have been afforded that hall pass? Be honest. What percentage of people would have been afforded that hall pass?
No one.
It's a very low number. I don't know that it's no one, but it's a very low number.
This officer should be suspended. Let me read to you what he, later down in the story, what he also says on the tape. I mean, honestly, this is the officer. I mean, honestly, I'm like one of the hugest Browns fans ever, born and raised in Cleveland. And it's frustrating to watch the Browns every single year.
Now we're talking football.
He says that to Kareem Hunt. I'm one of the biggest Browns fans ever.
The PIO for that department told the Cleveland newspaper that he was not charged because he had less than a gram. He said he doubted he would be charged by the prosecutor because of new laws in Ohio, which would require marijuana to be sent away for testing to determine if it even is THC. And it was only a small amount, Scott. And so they're saying it wasn't worth the hassle.
What about the open bottle of vodka?
If you believe that. Now, you know, I think if you're an 18 or a 19-year-old boy or a 22-year-old boy driving around town and you do not play football, and you are pulled over under those circumstances, and you're not with the Cleveland Browns, and the police officer's not a huge Cleveland Browns fan, you're leaving that scene in handcuffs. Tell me I'm wrong.
You are. A spokesman for the Rocky River Police Department called the officer's actions appropriate.
I think discretion is fine as long as it's evenly applied.
By the look of the size of the bag that the officer is carrying back to his cruiser from Kareem's car, He probably had more than a gram.
Discretion is a great tool if it is applied evenly.
Mm-hmm. Somebody writes in, you guys are never happy with the police. No matter what we do, you guys always have an opinion. We've been actually accused, Texter, on this program of being too pro-police. So I will take your criticism and challenge you and say you're wrong.
I just wish he has learned something. And driving around on a highway with an open container and marijuana in your car and speeding, come on.
Somebody says the vodka was inside the backpack. Of course it was. That's where he put it. When he was getting pulled over.
Still an open container in a car.
If you believe that anyone else in that car, anyone else that was just a guy coming home from work, would also have been given a warning and ticketed for the speeding and let go, then that's fine. I question whether that's true. I hope it's true. I question whether that's true.
Was he drinking said open container, or did he just have some in his car that had previously been opened?
That's not how the law works, buddy.
First of all,
it's a previously opened container
that I just happen to be taking with me in the car.
Right. And my breath might smell.
I opened it yesterday. It wasn't an open container today.
But I thought I would carry it in my backpack and drink it when I got to the parking lot at the airport.
Also not legal.
I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Do you really think that he's got an opened bottle of vodka in his backpack and isn't chugging that on the way to the airport? Give me a break.
You can get a DUI for having a beer can in the truck of your bed, the bed of your truck.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Even if you take the test and are clean, it's an open container charge.
I thought for it to be an open container, it had to be within reach of you.
I think that's what I thought, too.
Maybe that's
it. It had to be within arm's reach.
Now, you got long arms, Sam.
Exactly. Yeah, I could so reach your beer into my can, truck.
Theoretically.
For you not to be charged, would have to be in the back of the bed.
Right.
Not up front. I know, Texter, he sounds drunk. He does sound drunk.
I thought he sounded tired and resigned. Just resigned.
Translation, drunk.
He could have also been high.
I don't know.
We will visit with Tom Hedrick, sports broadcasting legend, who also called Super Bowls 1, 2, and 4, and was the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs for many years, not to mention the Texas Rangers, Cincinnati Reds, Nebraska Cornhuskers, and KU Jayhawks. Tom Hedrick when we get back on KMBZ. What an honor and a privilege. It's been a long time since we've been on the air together. Kansas City Chiefs are in Super Bowl 54 this weekend. And joining us on the hotline is the voice of Super Bowl 1, 2, and 4, and the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs from 1964 to 1971. What an honor to welcome in Professor Tom Hedrick. Professor, good afternoon.
Well, Scott, yeah, it's a nice deal. I didn't think I'd have to wait 50 years to see the Chiefs get back and battle for the big game, but it's going to be fun on Sunday.
Hi, Professor Hedrick. It's so good to hear your voice.
Well, that you sound a lot like Dana Wright to me. Is that who you are?
You're darn right it is. You're darn right it is.
You know, it's funny. What I remember about you, I can see it like it's yesterday. Quarter of five, we're over there at the Bob Dole Center, and this bright young lady from Topeka comes up to me and says, Mr. Hedrick, Professor Hedrick, use what you always call me, they say you're the speech guy, and I want you to work my voice. So I let you talk for 5 minutes, and I finally said, Dana, hold on. Let me just tell you something. You're like me. You talk at a rate of 135 words a minute and just up to 185. All we have to do is slow you down, and you're going to be great.
I remember that day well, Professor. It served me well.
And she did not take your advice.
Well, that's okay.
Hey, Professor.
She got a lot of charm. She knows what she's talking about. You know, it's one of those things. I'm not opposed to people talking fast. I've done that myself all my entire life.
You had a 62-year broadcasting career. What do you remember about the first Super Bowl call?
That I was scared to death. Hank Stram got me that job. At age 31, he called Bill McPhail of CBS and said, hey, I'm coming. My team's coming. I got a great young announcer. Nobody's heard him. But I want you to put Tommy Hedrick someplace to broadcast. Okay, so I wind up doing color, which I'd never done in my life. Now, we go to the press conference the day before the game, and Vince Lombardi comes in. He can intimidate anybody. And I still remember the PR guy, Don Weiss, saying to him, now look, when we get done with the formal press conference, Tommy Hedrick's going to come up and talk to you. And he said to me three times, I heard him say it, I don't want to do the interview. And I said, oh, God. I said, if I don't get this interview, I'll never be asked back again. So what I did was, at the end of the interview, the formal one, I went up and stuck my hand out. I said, hi, I'm Tom Hedrick, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bob Harlan's a good friend of mine, the GM of the Packers. He tells me you're a great man. I know you're a great football coach. I would appreciate 3 minutes of your time. Well, he gave me that. But I got news for you folks. That's a little bit of intimidation.
Professor, when you called Super Bowl I, it was then the AFL-NFL World Championship, did you have any idea how big this game would become?
No. I thought it might, but you don't know. For example, in that first Super Bowl, you could buy a 40-yard line ticket for $35. Okay, if you want to buy a spot on CBS or NBC, both were there, $10,000. I remember before the game, I could still see Jerry Mays, Buck Buchanan, and Lenny Dawson coming out. They just went out to center field, 50-yard line. Out came the Packers, Bart Starr and that group, Willie Davis, a great defensive end. They just went out there, shook hands, flipped the coin, and off we go. No, I thought it would be good, but you don't know.
And when you sit down to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday and realize what it has become, what do you think? As someone who was there for Super Bowls 1, 2, and 4.
Well, bigger is not better. Let me tell you that. Mm. I still remember we're playing the Packers. I called a guy named Chuck Lane, he's a PR guy with the Packers, and I said, hey, can I get with Bart Starr tomorrow, about half an hour, talk to him? Well, yeah. He said, we'll arrange that. Meet him at 1:30 in a practice field, so here comes Starr, and I'm there with a guy named Bob Henson with Piccadilly Capital. We get the Green Bay quarterback for 45 minutes. Now, can you believe that happening today? No. No, you only get 30 seconds if you're lucky. He was so gracious that then after the game I went down to congratulate him, and he said some fact. He said, well, I hope I didn't break your heart. I said, yes, you did, but that's okay. That's why you're great. And then 2 years later, I'm in Cincinnati. We play a preseason game. I see him on the field. He comes across the field, sticks his hand out, knows your name. No, bigger's not better.
Hmm. Do you look back when you think about it, Professor, and say, man, I called Super Bowl I, I called Super Bowl II, I called Super Bowl IV. How did I ever get this lucky?
Well, I got lucky because of Hank Stram. Hmm. Stram is the guy that got me there, pure and simply. He was my friend. Hmm. Stram gave me this. Every time we played the game, I always got the scouting report, and I got the game plan. Now, if the game plan is working, I'm talking about it. If it's not, I shut my mouth. No, Stram was a great man. I have great respect. He paid me the nicest compliment anybody could. He and Phyllis called me. It's always been about 20 years ago, but they called me one day at the office, KU, and they said, we've had some great announcers, Charlie Jones, Ray Scott, Merle Harmon, yourself. Cited several people and said, we always said, who really cared the most that we won or lost? Tommy Hendrick did. You never forget that. Henry Stram was my friend.
Mm. Professor Hendrick, what do you think is going to happen on Sunday? Can we get your prediction?
Yeah. I think Mahomes is going to be brilliant. I think he will, because he's unlike any other quarterback I've ever seen. He and Lenny are complete opposites. But he'll be brilliant. Here's the key. The key is stopping their running game. If we can stop the running game, we win the game. And I'm saying something like 35-31, good guys.
Good guys.
Well, you enjoy watching the game with your family, and I'm just thrilled that you joined us here today. Just thrilled. Scott and I owe everything we do today to you, mm-hmm. And it's a great honor to say that I was one of many in your classroom, sir.
No, it goes the opposite way. In fact, my wife told me one time, she said, what you did as a broadcaster, I'm proud of. What I'm more proud of is the 82 kids you helped. Because you know this thing, if you ask me a question, I always gave you a straight answer. Mm. I remember people on air talk about me, they'd say, Hendrick's a great guy, but one thing about him, he doesn't mince any words. If he thinks he can make it, he'll tell you. If not, it's going to be the other way. He's brutally honest. I consider that to be a compliment.
Professor, it's an honor and a privilege to visit with you this afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
God bless you. We love you, man. He's one of the good guys. One of the really good guys. Professor Tom Hendrick, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs from 1964 to 71, and the voice of Super Bowls 1, 2, and 4. What a privilege.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tight. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. That's right.
tricky. It's tricky,
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 tricky.
It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky,
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 tricky.
I met this little girlie.
Run.
Her hair was kind of curly.
Went to D-M-C. 1985, I believe it was, on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Story here from Fox News, so you know it's true. A college football coach has been suspended after saying in an interview that he would want to have dinner with Adolf Hitler, the former leader of Nazi Germany, who was responsible, of course, for the deaths of millions of Jewish people. Grand Valley State University offensive coordinator Morris Berger spoke to the school's student newspaper, the Grand Valley Lanthorn, last week, and was asked which three historical figures he would want to take to dinner, excluding any and all famous athletes, because he's a football coach. Said Berger, "This is probably not going to get a good review, but I'm going to say Adolf Hitler. It was obviously very sad, and he had bad motives, but the way he was able to lead was second to none. How he rallied a group and a following, I want to know how he did that. Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny he wasn't a great leader." Voss responded, the reporter, Kellen Voss, responded that it was crazy how Hitler was able to get people to support him. Berger responded, "Yeah, that's definitely one. You have to go to JFK too, his experience with the country and being that he was a great president and everything. And this might sound crazy, but Christopher Columbus, the ability to go on that journey that he was on and his emotion into the unknown." The school announced Berger's suspension on Monday.
What do you think?
I'm going to...
Now, you are a steward and history buff when it comes to all things World War II.
Yes. Not history.
I don't think he was saying, rah, rah.
No.
I'm for this evil man.
And I will tell you, and I recognize Adolf Hitler as the most evil human being that has ever walked the face of this earth, without question. But I have books that I have read and still read that are dedicated to the life and death, thank God, of Adolf Hitler. I find, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this, I find Adolf Hitler as despicable and evil as I know him to be, a fascinating character of history. And if that makes me a bad human being, then I'm sorry. But I have never, and I've read countless books on Adolf Hitler, I still...
It doesn't mean you idolize him,
If
you are one who reads about World War II history and you read about Hitler and where he came from and how he became who he became.
And how he became so influential and how he tricked an entire nation into following him.
I mean, I completely agree with you here.
I find it fascinating. He had a high-pitched voice. He was a brilliant orator, but his speaking style was not that good.
Now, let me ask you this. Was he suspended because he said if he could sit down with one leader, past or present, that's who it would be? Or was he suspended for then adding to that, that Hitler was undeniably a, quote, great leader?
Was he not?
What word would you use that you could replace with great? Influential, certainly.
For sure.
The problem with the word great, and we're getting into the weeds telling you, this is five letters. Five letters led to his suspension. Because the word great can mean many different things. Great can mean large. Great can mean admirable. Great can mean good. Great can mean a lot of things. And when you start talking about looking back into history, and this is the person I would sit down with, had he chosen another word than those five little letters, I don't think we'd be having this conversation.
Well, let me ask you this, Dana. What if the word was not great, What if the word was extraordinary?
Still not okay.
Effective?
Because extraordinary can also mean phenomenal.
But if we're
good.
Well, but if we're going.
Patrick Mahomes is extraordinary.
Doesn't mean I can't cheer against him if I live in San Francisco.
Well, my point is you have to use a word that is not open to interpretation in any way when you are talking about Hitler.
But if we're going to parse words here, okay, which I think is what we're doing, look at the word extraordinary. Extraordinary. He's not an ordinary leader. He was an extraordinary leader.
I wouldn't use that word either.
Okay. Who would you sit down with? You get, we're not going to do two. Or three. You get two. They have to be dead, and Jesus Christ doesn't count.
You'd be stunned to hear me say this, I think, but probably Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa would be a good one. Who's your second?
I'd have to think on that.
Okay.
It wouldn't be Hitler.
I would pick Hitler.
You can't use the word extraordinary. Although the very first...
And Abraham Lincoln.
The very first definition that comes up is very unusual or remarkable. Here are the synonyms. Remarkable. Yes, you could get away with that, Scott. Okay. Exceptional. I think you're skating on thin ice with that word. Amazing. No. Astounding. Maybe. Marvelous. This is where we start getting into problems with using the word extraordinary and great. The synonyms are marvelous, wonderful,
well,
phenomenal. There are too many other words that mean good things wrapped up into that one word. You cannot say great.
What about incredible?
No. You have to say remarkable. You got to err on the side of noteworthy, not anything that could be misconstrued as good.
But this college football coach goes on to say multiple times, as he should, and as would be appropriate, that he does not admire Adolf Hitler. He refers to him as awful, I believe, among other things. I just think we live in such a hypersensitive world that, God forbid, you find Adolf Hitler, and I'm going to use a word here, and I don't think it's inappropriate, fascinating. And if I was given the opportunity to go back in time and not have to fear for my life in front of this horribly evil human being and get 30 minutes to interview him, I would take it. Because I find him fascinating in the sense that I can't figure out how he was able to convince a nation to buy in.
Before the internet, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, before anything
before
that would
television.
Have... Before anything that would have fueled more easily the evil he spread.
Yes.
The type of things we see fueling evil today. None of that existed back then.
No,
he was able to do that.
Film existed and radio existed, but TV and the internet did not.
I still don't think you use the word great. You have to be very careful in choosing your words there.
But I don't know that you suspend a coach for misspeaking and picking the wrong adjective.
Yeah. I think he misspoke. I don't think he holds this evil person up on some shrine.
Nor do I.
I just think you better be darn careful if that's who you're choosing. It's a lot easier to pick somebody else, isn't it?
Well,
isn't it a lot easier to say JFK?
Well, then don't ask the questions if you don't want the answers. I mean, the reporter asked a really good, interesting question to probe into the psyche of a football coach that was not sports related. I applaud her for the good question. You're trying to get an angle on the interview that everybody else isn't asking. I mean, that's the key in journalism. Ask the question nobody else asks.
I find the more interesting ethical question, and this comes up, I think, in ethics classes from time to time, if you could go back in history and kill him early on, Scott, would you do it?
Yes.
If you could go back as a baby or a child, if you could go back and take him out, would you do it?
Knowing what we would later know.
Knowing what we would later know.
Yes.
Would you take a life to save 6 million people?
Yes.
The answer almost has to be yes.
I've been asked that question before, and I've never struggled with the answer. The answer is yes. If I could go back in time to 1898. If I could go back to 1899 and kill the infant Adolf Hitler, I would do it. Yes. And I wouldn't think twice about it. 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Cheryl, 1988 or 89, I want to say 89. I believe, Richie Sambora is on guitar on that album from Bon Jovi. Mike in Topeka. Mike, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
So I just got off work. I didn't catch the entire context of the conversation. I just caught that last bit about if you had the chance to take out Hitler, would you do it?
Yeah.
And I would have to disagree. If you've ever seen the butterfly effect or studied any kind of time travel, you have no idea what would happen. And while I think it was one of the darkest times in our history, and as much as I wish that it hadn't happened, it did happen. And going back in time and taking him out, for all you know, you could make things 15 million times worse. And, you know, someone else could have taken his place and actually took over the world, or taken over the world, rather. And you know, things would be so much worse than they are. So, would I if I could? No. Because it had to happen. We had to learn from it.
Have you been watching Back to the Future too much?
Well, no, but I mean, it makes sense. You know, it sucks that it happened, and I wish that it hadn't, but we had to learn from it to grow as a society.
Hmm. Okay.
That's my take on it.
All right. I'm glad you called in.
Here's what I think. He could have chosen his words a little more carefully, a little bit. But I am surprised he was suspended. Because if you talk to him and break down what he was trying to say, I think you would find professors of history who would agree.
Sure.
To sit down with someone like that and try to figure out how did this happen. But that's not how he said it. He said it in more of a flippant, you know, how he rallied a group and a following. I want to know how he did that. Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny he wasn't a great leader. He just should have chosen a different tone and adjective.
But I would argue to you, Dana, he was not suspended for the words that he used and chose. He was suspended because we live in a tight, panty world where if you say, well, I would want to sit down and visit with Adolf Hitler, that all of a sudden on its face, regardless of how many pre-things you say to qualify your choice, you're going to be suspended because, oh my God, I chose to sit down with Adolf Hitler. I must be suspended. I could sit here and say he was the most evil human being on the planet. He was an awful human being.
This is a university employee on Holocaust Remembrance Day.
He's a god dang football coach. I know,
but you have to choose your words carefully.
When
you are talking about things like the Holocaust, you just do.
If he is a university employee, which he is, then let's just not ask football coaches who they want to sit down with. Let's just ask them who's going through the A gap.
You're right, because next time he's going to say, student journalist, sorry, I have nothing to say to you.
I think Tyler Hill is really good to go through the A gap.
But who would you sit down with if you could?
I think Tyler Hill's really good to go through the A gap.
But you, sir, I'm asking you, anybody in history, who would you sit down and have lunch with?
What we need to do is stop the run. And we really need to pressure their defensive secondary. I mean, I'm not answering. Because, God forbid, I actually tell you the truth that I, Scott Parks, if given the chance to sit down and interview Adolf Hitler, I would take that chance. He is a horrible human being, was, is the most evil human being that ever walked this planet. I have to qualify this so I don't get fired. But I would take that interview. And if that makes me a horrible human being, then I guess I'm just a horrible human being. Steve in St. Joe. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
One question for you, just because right now we all know how awful Adolf Hitler turned out to be. So if someone said you could go back in time and kill him as a one-year-old, as you said, knowing that you would be arrested as a baby killer, you would be tried and possibly even put to death, would you still do it? And I'm not saying you would or wouldn't. I'm just curiosity if that, you know, curious if that comes into account. Think about if someone killed a baby today, would we condemn them, or would we say, you know, he might have saved us from having a world war in 20?
Well, but keep in mind, the premise of the conversation was, knowing what we know today, would you do it?
Right, but by definition, going back in time and doing something, no one around you is going to know.
Well, then I'd run.
So it's a personal question. You know, would you be willing to do that? And the only person who would know that you'd saved 20-plus million people from World War II and all is you.
You would be the only one who would know.
Yeah.
Steve, it's a really interesting and fascinating question.
Nothing to do with the topic of conversation.
No, it doesn't. But I'd like to think that I would. Being maybe the only person on the planet knowing what would come from it, I'd like to think I would still have the courage to do that. But I don't know. Steve, I don't know.
Tough one.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, and keep in mind, human nature is self-preservation.
I mean, Textline has a fair point. There's an entire docu-series of people getting into the lives of some of the most horrible people to ever walk the face of this earth out of being interested in
It's a way of exploring. Mm-hmm. You just don't use the word great. If he had used another word, I don't think we'd be talking about this.
I do think, though, that the word extraordinary is fair. He was an extraordinary leader. And extraordinary doesn't necessarily mean great.
But it could, which is why I wouldn't use that word either.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.